of it, right? It belongs to the real community of Islam in the West. All right. So they better realize that. You got some on there with that old crazy, sick liberal mentality. Sick liberal mentality. What the chief wants? He wants to make this paper Holy Quran or a newspaper. We want a Muslim newspaper. A Christian want a Christian newspaper. So why shouldn't we want a Muslim newspaper? We are Muslim. This Survival Day, we want to pay special tribute to the great leaders of the liberation movement for our people. Going back to Frederick Douglass, and even earlier than him, I'm asking them, the staff members, to get together materials, persons who are worthy of tribute, and some materials on them, and we are going to put together a nice photo and word composition. And we are going to emphasize or stress preserving our good ethnic heritage. There's much that we have inherited from the past that if we kept it, it would be a great source of strength and dignity for us. We don't want to lose it. We want to show these people that Muslims are not blind to the sacrifices of their great leaders. That we don't ignore and play cheat the sacrifices of our great leaders. Many of you don't know Frederick Douglass. The man was a giant. And there are many more great leaders of our kind you don't know. Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver. I know some of our people say Booker T. Washington was Uncle Tom. They said the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a fool, an idiot. They said it for 30-some years. He had to talk for 30-some years before they gave him some kind of respect. You see? But I know that Booker T. Washington, he did a marvelous job of getting our people motivated in the right direction. He told our people, if you can shine shoes for the master, then why not take that skill, that talent that you have out there in the public and make some money with it. So a lot of the modern professional class, Uncle Tom, they're the real Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom. They reject him because he didn't tell them to be doctors of mathematics, doctors of chemistry, to get into industry, to become the president of the United States, compete for a seat in the Senate. He didn't tell them things like that. He knew they needed some money. They needed to establish some kind of income so they won't have to go back into slavery and tell master, master, I can't do anything out here in the free world. Take me back. So Booker T. Washington, he helped our people. He told them to take those skills that you have developed as a servile person in the house of your master, take those out in the public and earn you some living, earn a living with it. Hair pressing. Don't you know we used to do the master, old mistress hair? Our women used to do the mistress hair. Comb it, brush it, or curl it, whatever had to be done, whatever she wanted. Malalian mistress had to do that. Booker T. Washington said, if you can do her hair, how come you can't do your own people's hair? Say, go out in the public, and that's how come we got all these beauty shops now. Beauty shops, barber shops, shoe shine. Those were the first jobs. Booker T. Washington encouraged us to do those things. So you can cook for the master. He likes your food. Why don't you cook for your people? So we had a whole lot of restaurants came into existence, right? Malalian restaurants. Okay, so when we're talking about ethnic heritage, we want to keep all of the good ethnic heritage alive for the generations to come. That's just a little bit of it. Our people have done great work. You know the history of the great women who braved the hostility and savage hostility of the Caucasians who wanted to keep our people slaves. One woman, she led the people to the north. What was it? Harriet Tubman. Risked her life. She was a soldier, a renegade. Out there risking her physical life to help get her people to a better, into a better environment, a safer environment. So we have this great history. We don't want to lose it. And we don't want to go to college and get it as some black studies program. We don't want to go to college and get a black study program. It should be the duty, it should be the responsibility of an ethnic group to preserve their ethnic values and their ethnic worth. It should be their duty. They don't have an Italian program? Italian studies program? Do they have a Jewish study program? Do they have an American Indian study program? Tell me why in the hell they got a black study program in college. To pacify some ignorant people who can't see the light of day. They want to pacify you. Make you feel great. You in college, reading about Mansa Musa. And they don't even tell you that Mansa Musa read the Holy Quran and lived a Muslim life. So why go there and let them give you black studies and they won't even tell you the truth about the black dignity that those people had in El Islam? The Songhai Empire and all those great black people, and then I call them black because they were mostly black, although some of them weren't black. The Sudanese, you go there now, you can't find any pure black, Harley. Just a few. You can find some, but the majority of the Sudanese, their shades vary from like cocoa, coffee, and darker. They're mixed people. In fact, we have a great Sudanese right here now. Look like he's one of the descendants of the pharaohs, the ancient pharaohs. Stand up, Brother Tijani. Here's Dr. Tijani. We're happy to have him here with us today. The great history that we learn about in these college so-called black studies programs, it was his people. Most of the great empires were right around there in his land. In his land and in the vicinity. Except for very few. You see? So if we don't know these are Muslims, what good is that black study program? And they're not even telling us that this was even Muslim ancestors. In fact, if the sun of political power hadn't eclipsed over the black Muslim world or the African Muslim world, you wouldn't have been here. It was because the political power shifted. The climate shifted and brought in the European as the political power of the known world. That is why you're here. If it wasn't for that, if our people had remained strong, we wouldn't have even been brought here as slaves. I wish you'd read sometime the history of slavery, in the Encyclopedia Britannica. And they'll tell you that in Muslim lands, certainly they had what they call slavery, but it was nothing. In fact, you need a new word for it. It wasn't like what you have here. A person would volunteer to work for another, and he was called a slave. He would have a contract for a year, 2 years, or for his life. Someone would say, for my life. Many of them, they were given enough money on their job to buy their own freedom. Whenever they wanted, they could buy their freedom and go to another job or go free. Many of them came out of that particular class of servants and became king, the leader over that society. Many of them educated, well-educated, and put in government positions. I'm talking about history you can read from the American side. You don't have to go to the Muslim side. These are things you can read from the American side. And Prophet Muhammad, we have to give him the credit for that. Al-Islam. Not the Arabs, Al-Islam and the Quran. Although the Encyclopedia Britannica tell us that even the Arabs before Al-Islam, they didn't have any savage, barbaric kind of treatment of the slaves that we read about in the plantation history. Even before El Islam, they didn't go to that extent. Well, some things you read about in the, what they call the, I think they call them that, the Chronicles of slavery. Some of the things you read about in there, I'm telling you, you just, I wouldn't even read it in public. It's just too horrible to even read in public. It's too sadistic. Sick things. Remember that many of the people who came here from Europe, they were released from prison. Some of them released from mental institutions. They needed labor over here. So they released people from prisons, they released people from mental institutions, and some of these people, because of their color, when white supremacy was instituted, they became our masters. So here I got a master of mental cases. An incorrigible criminal, my master. Yeah, you see? So we have to understand these things. The history over here, you can't find a match nowhere in history. Nowhere in history. Prophet Muhammad says, feed your slave what you feed yourself, and dress him with the clothes that you wear yourself. And don't speak down to him like he's a slave. Speak to him like he's your brother. This is what Prophet Muhammad instituted. He says, and give him an education. So what was he saying? This man was a divine genius, a divinely sent genius. I won't say divine genius, because we don't believe in human divinity in Islam. He was a divinely motivated genius. He didn't say, you can't have slaves no more. Not in those words, but still he said it. He said it without causing explosion. He liberated the slaves without making the master an enemy, without making him feel he has to go to war now to protect his slave economy. He told him that the slave, he is your brother. Don't call him slave, call him son, my boy, Waladi. You see? Yes, says, and dress him with the clothes that you yourself wear. Feed him with the food that you yourself eat. And there's a case in history, Brother Tadani could give it to you because he studied the history, where a slave was, not a slave, but one who had been a slave, a servant, was spoken to in a kind of disrespectful way by one of the dignified dignitaries of the Arab community. And he was made to make an apology. He was made to give an apology. You see? So this is what El Islam did for us. It stopped the slavery in the best way. And no Muslim can be a slave to anybody except Allah. All through the Holy Quran, Allah says, my slave, Ibadi. That's the plural for abd, and abd means slave. That's what Prophet Muhammad told them not to call their servants. He said, don't call him up. Am I right, Brother Tadani? See, I got doctors here. They can verify what I... He said, yes, I'm right. So he said, the Prophet Muhammad stopped them from calling the people up. They're up. Means my slave. They are not your up. They are the up of Allah. You see? Yes. Now, I want to now read some verses from the Holy Quran. I know what day it is, and I know what time it is. It's about 3:05 by that time. See if I can find my watch. Here it is. Well, I don't know how correct my watch is, but I have 3:10. And I promise you that I won't waste your time. And I wish you'd promise me you won't waste my time. I want to read from chapter in the Holy Quran, chapter, Surah An-Nahl, the bee. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, highly glorified is He. He says, whenever you read the Holy Quran, ask protection from Allah, from the rejected enemy, the Satan. So whether you hear me say it or not, I'm saying it. In my own burning heart, I say it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. I seek protection with Allah, refuge with Allah, from the rejected Satan, the enemy. The enemy of all man, is that right? The enemy of the human being who appears in our bodies. Bodies looking like us. For a great period of this modern day history, they were choosing Caucasian bodies. But it looked like to me for the last 10 years, they haven't been too choosy. They've been picking all kinds of bodies. With the name Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Verse 1. The inevitable comes to pass, the command of Allah. Seek you not then to hasten it. Glory to Him, and far is He above having the partners they ascribe to Him, unto Him. Verse 2. He does send down His angels with inspiration of His command to such of His servants as He pleases, saying, warn man that there is no God but I, so do your duty unto me. This is Allah speaking, the creator, the originator of all things. And he's not speaking here in the collective voice. Sometimes, in fact, in many places in Holy Quran, he says we and us. But here is the first person, the first person. And often it shifts like this from the collective person to the first person. Because Allah wants us to know that He has charge over all affairs. And whatever good has come to you, whether it was through a king, or through a friend, or through mom and dad, it was because Allah made it possible. Allah did it. You see? But sometimes He wants to reach us directly in our conscience, in our personal lives. He wants us to know that I alone have the power. I alone am your maker, your creator. So here in these verses, you'll see that Allah, the God, He's speaking in the first person, the singular person, pardon me. Verse 3. He has created the heavens and the earth for just ends. J-U-S-T, just ends. Not for crooked ends, for just ends. The creation is all, and its total working, is all working to establish justice. You might get by with your crooked thing today, but the movement is against you. And in time, your crookedness will be manifest. He has created the heavens and the earth, but just in far is He above having the partners they ascribe to Him. Verse 4, He has created man from a sperm drop, that is semen. And behold, this same man or creature becomes an open disputer, disputing with his Lord, disputing with his Maker. Verse 5, and cattle He has created for you. From them you derive warmth and numerous benefits, and of their meat you eat. Verse 6, and you have a sense of pride and beauty in them, as you drive them home in the evening, and as you lead them forth to pasture in the morning. Isn't the word of God so beautiful? How beautiful is his word? You see how he's bringing home to us, to our conscience, our shameful disrespect for our Creator. Look at the benefits, the many benefits we get from the things that Allah has created. And look at the pride that we take in possessing these things that Allah created. We're proud of our beautiful horses, our fine cattle. Is that right? Our beautiful dogs. And look how obedient Allah has made those things to us. Look how they serve us and give freely. Cow gives the milk. Milk, milk, milk. All right? The horse rides until he dies to please his master. The mule carries the load and can hardly stand up for his master. Now here you are. You have a master. Allah is your master. Are you giving Allah what you are demanding from these creatures? Verse 7. And they carry your heavy loads to lands that you could not otherwise reach except with souls distressed. Here is a powerful suggestion here. Powerful suggestion here. These animals are worn out by you traveling your long distances. But here is a hint that you also burden human beings like this. You couldn't make it except with souls distressed. You wear out each other like this. Just to accomplish the thing that you want to get. Is that right? But if Allah say, give, and give zakat, if Allah says, wage the battle for Allah's sake, deliver the truth, get out in the forefront, make the drive for Allah's sake, leave your wife for a few days to go out and do some missionary work for Al-Islam. Or leave her for a few hours and come down and assist the program to spread the teaching of Al-Islam. Oh, I can't do this. But you'll drive the cattle out, the dog out, the babies out, your son. Drive them all day long. In the South, they used to drive the little children from sunup to sunset. Right? To get what they want. For your Lord is indeed most kind, most merciful, and he has created horses, mules, donkeys for you to ride and use for show. And he has created other things of which you have no knowledge. Since that time, a whole world of macroscopic creatures have been discovered. Since the time of this revelation, a whole world of microorganisms have been discovered. And here just recently they discovered one that was not seen before by the microscope. A new one they had discovered. But Allah told us this through Prophet Muhammad 1400 years ago. Verse 9, and unto Allah leads straight the way, and there are ways that turn aside. If Allah had willed, he could have guided all of you. Why Allah have to ask us to be Muslim? If he wanted us to be like this, how come he didn't create us like this? He wanted you to earn respect, dignity for yourself. If you had been made like this, you would feel no achievement. Is that right? And there, with achievement, there comes self-respect. There comes an increase in self-respect and dignity. Pleasure is increased. Happiness is increased. Because I accomplished this. I had the freedom to not do it or to do it. It was my choice. I took up the task and I accomplished this. This is my choice and my achievement. Is that right? So Allah allow you, give you freedom to earn dignity. To earn dignity and self-image. You see? But he could have made it your nature and you couldn't have disagreed with him. It is he who sends down rain from the sky. From it you drink, and out of it grows the vegetation on which you feed your cattle. With it he produces for you corn, olives, date palms, grapes, and every kind of fruit. Verily, and this is a sign for those who give thought. He has made subject to you the night and the day, the sun and the moon, the stars, and in subject and upon me, and the stars are in subjection by his command. Verily, and this are signs for men who are wise. There is nothing in any book, nothing that any social reformer or so-called liberator of men have ever said that is as powerful as this for encouraging the human being to take up the challenge and do what he must do to make the world a good one for himself. God saying that not only the field that you plow, the animals that you use, but the sky you look up to, I've made that to serve you too. Everything of the physical world, I've made them these things beneath you, man. You can derive benefit and service from these things. They will yield their service to you. What great encouragement could you have from any source? Only from Allah comes this kind of encouragement. Verse 13. And the things on this earth which he has multiplied in varying color. Verily, in this is a sign for men who celebrate the praises of Allah. Haven't Allah made the black caviar? And look how expensive it is. And then there's something that he made white. And they are more expensive than the black in their particular class. Is that right? Some things are different colors. Red. Sometimes the red is the best. Right? Sometimes the yellow is the best. Say, give me the red one. Why? Because this is the better quality. Is that right? Sometimes we say, give me the yellow one. Say, why? Because that is the better quality. Sometimes we say, give me the green one. Why? Because that's the better quality. Is that right? Sometimes we say, give me the black one. Why? Because that's the better quality. Is that right? So Allah hasn't set any color as representative of the best quality. He has established the best quality under all colors. Is that right? So see how Allah reaches the conscience, reaches the hidden thoughts of the races without even opening up the subject of racism to it. He's just reading the Holy Quran, but the doctor is working on his racist mentality with the power of suggestion, suggesting to his mind to come out of that silly racist posture, leave it, come into a dignified posture. Verily, and this is a sign for men who celebrate the praises of Allah in gratitude. It is he who has made the sea subject, that you may eat thereof flesh that is fresh and tender, and that you may extract therefrom ornaments to wear. And you see the ships therein that plow the waves, that you may seek of the bounty of Allah, and that you may be grateful. And he has set up on the earth mountains standing firm, lest it should shake with you, and rivers and roads, that you may guide yourself. We're not talking about the road that the, what you call these men, the excavators, marked out. Before they made roads, Allah put natural roads in the earth, so men could have place to walk, place to travel, and reach other places. Roadways to go through. Is that right? Natural ways he made. Sometime a river winds through a jungle, or winds through a land that would be impossible to travel across. Is that right? If it wasn't for the river winding through it. So he has cut roads with the water And then sometimes there are other natural roads made by Allah, with stone, or with the hills, or with other things. So many ways he make the roads, with the erosion of the land. So many ways he make the roads. And then he has the stars up there to help guide us when we are lost. Is that right? So he made so many ways to help man to make his path. And then as soon as we become students and professors in the field that Allah established, we forget Allah and take all the credit for it. And marks and signposts, and by the stars men guide themselves. Is then he who creates like one that creates not? Will you not receive admonition? Mean, will you not receive admonition? Another word for admonition is warning, something that awakes your conscience. Hints for your own good life. Hints for your own good life. You see? Is he who creates like one that creates not? There is but one God to worship. That's Allah, the Creator. If you would count up the favors of Allah, never would you be able to number them, for Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. And Allah does know what you conceal and what you reveal. Those whom they invoke, that it means pray to, call out to, besides Allah, create nothing, and are themselves created. They are things dead, lifeless, nor do they know when they will be raised up. What is this talking about? Men worship in those days, and still some silly men still do. Worship a god that they make themselves, fashioned with their own hands, out of wood, out of stone. A dead thing. Not alive, can't do anything for them. Now men, after their leader have died, they make him a god, right? The leader died, and pretty soon they introduce him. He's the god. But where is he? He's in the grave. He's dead. He's a dead thing. But they worship him as a god. Do you find men worshiping a living person as a god? They hardly ever do that, do they? Even with Pharaoh, they didn't think he was the god. They thought he was a manifestation. The divine power worked through him, but the divine was somewhere else. But when he died, they didn't make him a god. He's a god now. So we are people who make dead things our God. Dead wood, dead stone, and men who passed away. They are things dead, lifeless. Nor do they know when they will be raised up. You might say, well, how will an idol that man made from wood be raised up? Well, this is talking about men. It is talking specifically about men, people we make gods of. But it applies also to that dead object, the wood or the stone. It will not be the same way always. The wood is going to rot, it's going to go back into the cycle of matter, or creation, is that right? It's not going to remain that. That's what God is saying. What you worship, the image you see now, it's creation, and it's not going to keep its face. Time is going to erase it. The natural law, the process that God has made, is going to erase it. And those men that you worship as God, they can't even know themselves what day they will stand up. What day they will be brought back to life and face the judgment? They don't know. Yes. Now let me continue. Your God is one God. Ilahukum ilah wahid. Your God is one God. As to those who believe not in the hereafter, their hearts refuse to know, and they are arrogant. Often you will find, and I'm going to finish this particular reading here, on this verse, verse 22 of the chapter called the Bee, Surah called the Bee in Nahla. Often in the Holy Quran, you will find the belief in the resurrection, not just what we call the resurrection here for us, a resurrection into knowledge, that it brings us into a new life on this earth, but a belief in the continuation of life that God has not made the human being to end on this level. When this creation passes away, Allah will wake us up. We will have to give an account for our wrong. The Holy Quran says whether it was an atom weight. Okay. That cruel slave master who smoked his pipe, drank his liquor, had his party while he was torturing and burning the flesh of the innocent slave. Do you think he's escaped? Do you think he has no judgment? That's terrible for us to think that way. Is God just? If Allah is a just God, how can that man escape? He probably passed away smoking. Maybe a group of slaves was giving him a show, a buffoon show, while he was on his dying bed. And he went away feeling as though slavery was going to exist forever. You know? Tell me that man is not going to have to account for that? If that's what the world is, I don't want it. If that's the scheme of this world, I would like to commit suicide right now. But thanks be to Allah, I don't believe that way. Holy Quran says whether, Allah says in the Holy Quran, whether there is an atom, whether it be an atom weight of evil, you will have to give an account for it. Whether it be an atom weight of good, you have to get the reward for it. And Allah says he rewards the good many times over, but the bad just gets the equivalent of the bad. You see how wonderful Allah is in this Quran? Read the Bible. What does the Bible say? As they did unto you, do unto them double. Snatch the babies and bash their head against the stone. Say they will come against you and they will have no respect for the women, for the life in the womb, in the stomach. Pregnant woman's stomach will be cut open and the fetus dashed against the ground. When you go out of Egypt, say, go out with, I forget the word, it means go out with a good load of stuff that you looted, that you stole, you know. Go out with a big basket of stolen goods. Yeah. And when you get the upper hand, do unto them, see, give them double. Now that's not even the law of Moses, is it? The law of Moses said an eye for an eye, two for a two, equal for equal, is that right? But here the Bible is saying, no, when you get the upper hand, you'll be worse, you'll do double. But the Holy Quran says, no, Allah just punished the sin with its equivalent, with its equal. But he rewards the good many times over. So we find that Allah in the Holy Quran, he ties, shows us the tie, the connection between a belief in the Creator and a belief in the promise of future life. The judgment that you will not escape, though your body be rotten in the physical ground. You cannot escape reward or punishment. You see? So those that don't want to believe in Allah, they're usually the ones that reject the idea of the resurrection. This idea, particular idea, of a resurrection from the physical creation. And those that reject the resurrection, they're usually the ones that don't want to accept that Allah is one God for everybody, one creator over everything. They want to make their God separate from their work, from that one, so they can put into that God's mouth a special kind of teaching, a privileged thing for themselves, favoritism, right? So we find that when we read the Hebrew history, the Jewish history, there's a lot of favoritism there. They commit sin and be forgiven. Other people are just brutally destroyed, ruthlessly just wiped out for doing the things that they do. You see, brothers and sisters, we must come to our religion and come to it upright, with open faith. Come to it honestly, not as pretenders. Accept the whole religion, not part of it. We have to accept the whole religion, not part of it, and give our whole self to this religion. That's the only way. Then we get the full benefit, and we'll see a new life and happiness and people growing, children growing more intelligently. Don't you know the Bible is designed to make the Gentile intelligence decrease, diminish? It's designed to make them stupid, to give their life forces to passion, to give their life forces to gen nature, passion, fiery nature, lust, so that their intelligence diminish. And look now, don't we have a deficit in the bank of intelligence? The bank, the brain bank of America. Isn't it hurt? I mean, this is what they're telling us in the news, that we're just not producing men that are strong enough to carry this nation. There's a brain shortage. That's because the Gentiles are coming into their fullness. It means the fullness of the wrath, that cup of wrath that the Jacobite put in the Bible for him. He's been drinking it now for about 2,000 years, and he's gotten good and drunk. That's what the fullness of the Gentile means, that he's going to drink these crooked lies and crooked teachings of the Bible until he becomes full with it. Once it fills him up, oh, he's finished. Wipe them out. Here is a few selected people from the so-called Jewish people design a scheme to take over the world and to drive the Gentile mind into inferiority, filth, and inferiority. Few people, without weapons, without army, without planes, without even one single bullet, have destroyed the West. That's who have done it. It is the Bible message that was written by conspirators, so-called Jewish conspirators, who conspired to take over the Western world, and then with the Western world, take over the whole world. First, they wanted to get Europe. Once they got Europe, they thought then, through Europe, they could get the whole world. They picked out a people who had a savage history. They picked out the people that were ideal for their job, the job they wanted those people to do. Picked out people who love blood. Look how they tell you how the Romans used to like to see the lions eat up. That was their sexual pleasure, just seeing bloodshed. Lions eat up and bite the people. Go out and just kill each other for sport. There was a group, a nation called the Spartans. The Spartans, who just grew people for nothing but war. All of their children were raised for war. If anyone was weak, they kill him off. If he come up weak, too weak for war, they killed him. They didn't want him. So these are the people that the Jews gave, not the good Jews, the bad Jews, gave this explosive gun to blow their own brains out with, that we call the Bible, you see. Yeah, they picked out the people. And the Greeks, read the history of the Greeks. They were people, sissified people. Even when they were strong at war, they did it like a bunch of women. Go to war like a bunch of women. Killing people, but doing it like women. Take that, darling. Take that, darling. Go back home. Go back home and look at a bunch of naked bitches. All out in the public, nude statues. All of their gods in the nude. Idol gods, nude statues. They just was occupied with the physical body of the male and the female, right? This is the Greek. So over the nation, the Western nation, and then use them as a big gun to blow everybody else's brains out. But thank Almighty God Allah, He has revealed the truth through Prophet Muhammad. We have the light on now, and the goods are different. Advance this great mission and bring in a new world. See the good life of the human being liberated. We will never be able to see it until we as Muslims embrace the whole of our religion. Live the whole religion. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, we can't compromise with the world. Some of you sent me Christmas greeting cards. Merry Christmas, Steve. From who? Brother Shahid Nasser. I said, what in the world is going on? See, the majority of the Gentiles now, since the Muslims have been coming out hitting on this terrible trick and the trick and poison that's in their religion, we don't find them saying Merry Christmas too much. I remember when I was a boy, the whole week behind us, maybe for 2 weeks, but at least that whole week before Christmas, Merry Christmas, all everybody go, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Is Santa are you expecting Santa to bring you something? Have you been a good boy? Nobody asking anybody about Santa. Nobody hardly saying Merry Christmas. But here, a Muslim is. Was under the honor of Elijah Muhammad for about 30 years. Merry Christmas, Chief. Need to catch him and give him a good lashing. With a lightweight chain. That's right. We doing all of this work trying to bring our people's mind out of that trap. And here they come up, Merry Christmas. I would be afraid to say that to my imam. I would only say it if I heard him say it. And then I would ask him why he said it. Say, Chief, Chief Imam, does that mean now we accept Christmas? That's what I'd ask him. I would have to have an answer. He said, Merry Christmas. I said, wait a minute, Chief. Say, are we Muslims or Christians? Are you introducing the Christian holiday into our religion? No, we can't do that. Jesus is the prophet of Islam, like all the rest of the prophets. And Christmas is a pagan holiday put on Jesus to keep the Gentiles' mind worshiping inferior gods. That's all. Idol gods, flesh. Now, are we going to promote this thing? No, indeed. No, indeed. Brothers and sisters, when this holiday comes, remember, we fast Christmas Eve. And the fast is to awaken us, to help put us on God, so that we don't lower our God and forget that we are now Muslims. And we should be trying to encourage the people to worship the one God who created the heavens and the earth. If you told them no more than this, Jesus did not worship himself. Jesus worshiped Almighty God. If you told him no more than that, you would do a lot to bring this whole world around. And they read their Bible, they'll see Jesus never worshiped himself, and Jesus never told anybody to worship him. Jesus worshiped God, and the Holy Quran tells us that Jesus worshiped Allah. He serves Allah. He never told his people to worship him. He prayed to Allah in the most humble fashion. He got down on his hands and knees and put his forehead on the ground and prayed to Allah, like the Muslims pray. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, let's be strong Muslims all the way, living the whole of our religion, giving our whole self to our religion, and let's encourage our brothers and sisters to take on that strength. Encourage them in a nice, kind way, not by condemning them in an ugly fashion, being cruel to them. No, by being kind, showing them that you love them and you would like to see them get the full benefit of their religion. And they can't get the full benefit if they're compromising with beer, reefers, fornication, adultery, gambling. I don't know about now, but some time ago, about a couple of years ago or more, believers gambling, fornicating, smoking reefer, taking drinks, partying with Christians, as though they never heard the word al-Islam or Islam. We can't live like that and be Muslim. And come here and say, As-salamu alaykum, brother. As-salamu alaykum, brother. As-salamu alaykum, sister. You all look good, sister. All praise is due to Allah. And to do this before a sister. I'm telling you, I'm telling you these things because I want to let you know the extent to which you can drop, because you've already dropped that far. To let you know that we don't stand for that over here. Take out a robe. Now, I only got $1. But he take out a big robe. Yeah, sister. You're a good-looking sister. You should be working, in the Pioneers building. Count through about 50 of them. And then put it so she could see it. They were all 50s. Wasn't nothing but 50s. Might take out a bunch of 100s. Sister, who you work for? She looking at the group 100. Well, I would like to work for you. Now, dear beloved brothers and sisters, when you catch that, you should be Muslim vigilantes. Go on and make a citizen's arrest. Just catch him and drag him on down here. If I ain't at home, just keep him waiting out there in the car until I get home. Or either bring him here to see Sheikh Shabazz and just hold him until Sheikh Shabazz can see him and tell Sheikh Shabazz what he did. And the sister that said, oh man, bring her too. Hold her temporarily. But you hold her in the right way now. Or when you get here, both of you are going to be in trouble. Bring them on down here and let's stop that sort of thing. We ain't gonna have it. Oh, talking to us like he's a big daddy and we a bunch of children. You better thank Allah that we have this religion. Because without this religion, you wouldn't be nothing but a bunch of children. This religion give us a chance to grow up. Without Islam, we are a bunch of children. We just tear up the house, but when the big Caucasian daddy comes, okay, niggas, you've done enough. Get in the wagon or I'm gonna bust your head. And And I'm going to tell you, some of them can put it on you so hard. Ain't often you hear a grown-up man holler out like a woman. But once I saw him put it on this man was resisting arrest, and they started putting it out on him, the man sounded like he was calling his mama. They bring you back to your senses. So thank Allah that we have this dignified religion. We can come to our senses as civilized people. Allah bless you. I hope that you go and spend the rest of this day as a true model example of Al-Islam. Be the good Muslim example. And if you go and spend some time with your Christian relatives, show them that you're proud of your religion. Don't be ashamed of your religion. We got brothers and sisters who go with their relatives, and when their relatives say Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. They say Merry Christmas. Say Happy New Year. Say Happy New Year. I say season's greetings to you. Season's greetings to you. You see? So they have other ways to greet. You don't have to associate a false god with your god. You can say season's greetings to you. Right? Happy New Year. Now, there's nothing wrong with New Year. It's on the this calendar we have, the Gregorian calendar? Yeah, it's the Gregorian calendar. It was given to us by the sun worshippers who brought their sun worship into Christianity. But another calendar year, we hope it will be happy, so it's okay to say Happy New Year. Is there anything in Hadith, in the teachings of Islam, would prevent us from saying Happy New Year? No. They know it. Believe me, they're scholars, and they know it by heart. They have studied their religion by heart. They know the laws by heart. And they say, no, it's nothing. So we can say Happy New Year. You can say season's greetings. But don't say Merry Christmas. Christmas! That's the worship of the false thing. False kind of thing. So don't say that. And when you eat with them, be a Muslim with them. Some of you are so weak, you can't even let them know you're a Muslim. They say, hey, let's play some cards. Let's play some blackjack. Let's play some trump. You sitting there don't want to be different. You take your trump card. There you are, sitting right around the table looking like you ain't never heard of Islam. Pretty soon your spirit is in it.
Better now.